The John Richardson Show
with John Richardson.
Hello there and welcome to the John Richardson Show podcast. Thank you for downloading. It's a cracker, this one. We've got Angela Barnes back with us and we have a little discussion about a power trip I went on after I drove to London in a transit van and felt all powerful. That has resulted in listeners now sending us pictures of them holding chainsaws aloft. So I feel I might be under attack. We also helped solve a 30-year dispute between two friends. And Britain is asked a question and finally gets the answer right. Crucially, nobody has challenged our resident poet, Tracy. So Tracy's back. It's a cracking poem, but if you think you can do better, John at absoluteradio.co.uk. Here's the show.
How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Good morning, John. How you doing?
I'm all right. I don't like that. I do that little one that's very quick at the beginning, and then you don't chip in.
I just sat there grinning at you. It was a bit odd, wasn't it?
Yeah, you all right?
Yeah, I'm good. I've had that horrible cold that's been doing the rounds, so that's why you made me sit the other side of the room. But apart from that, I'm all good. A bit croaky.
You sound good.
Thanks, mate.
You weren't here last week.
I wasn't, no.
So this is the cleanest show on radio. I don't know if you know that. Just in terms of admin, we like to tidy things up.
So okay, sure.
Here's what you missed last week.
Silence.
You know what that is?
A pig.
Oh. Okay. Shots fired in the co-host chair. That's Kerry Godleman.
Oh.
Love
you, Kerry.
We were discussing the most annoying noises anywhere. I had a taxi driver who didn't have his seatbelt. And I tell you what, you keep those texts coming in, cabbies. You keep those texts coming in all week. I have never, ever... I mean, it was quite a lot when I said I was V-E-G-A-N.
That oh, don't off say quite that word on the radio,
that kicked
John.
Off quite a bit. But I tell you what, you want to rile up cabbies, you open up a discussion about whether they need to wear seatbelts or not.
Is it right that legally they don't? Have I started it now? Oh, dear.
You've kicked it right off again. There are certain scenarios. Anyway, I'll give you the full briefing. It's going to take 7 hours.
Okay, we'll do that later.
We were discussing the most annoying noises, and Pete from Manchester sent us this during the week.
Hi, John. It's Pete in Manchester. The most annoying noise for me is the whistle of Samsung text messages. How annoying is that?
Oh, I think that's quite chirpy. That's quite... Oh, you got a message. It's quite nice.
It is nice, I have to admit, but it doesn't half get stuck in your head. It doesn't half stay there. And I tell you what, I knew Pete was from Manchester just from the way he said hello. That was... I've never...
Hello.
Oh, yeah, it's Pete from... You don't have to say it, mate. I know exactly where you're from. Don't you worry about that. And Claire told us about her most annoying noise, and I'm going to be honest, it's one that might cause her problems at home.
Hi, John. The most annoying noise, in my opinion, is hum whistling. My husband is in the background, currently hum whistling.
I thought that was a budgie.
I love hum whistling.
How do you hum whistle?
You hum and whistle.
I can't do that. That's not possible.
I wish the listeners could say how proud you were of yourself, though, when it started to happen. I can hum whistle.
I can do
it. So the big question is the most annoying noise hum whistle or somebody learning to hum whistle live on air? That's the big question. I love a hum whistle. I'll tell you what noise I also love is the Jetsons, the sound of the cars they used to make, like... That one.
You're one of those sound effects kids, weren't you, John?
I am. I'm basically the guy from Police Academy, but yeah. I never got my break.
He's done 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. Now, John Richardson does radio. This is the John Richardson Show.
I'm sitting slightly higher in my chair this week.
You are. Does it make you feel like... is it because you're proud or something? You're looking very smug.
I am looking smug. Well, I drove to London this week in a transit van. And I have become a completely different person, I'm not going to lie to you. It was so exciting.
Was it a white one?
It is a white one. It wasn't a white one. It was a grey one, but there was a fault with the grey one, so they brought me out a white one. And then I... Yeah.
It wasn't you that bibbed at me on the Euston Road, was it?
Yeah, it was.
On the way
in?
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely was. Yeah, because some people are in my way when I need to change lane without indicating. And that is unacceptable. I felt such a sense. And do you know the best thing was? I got to go to my... It was my daughter's Harvest Festival this week. And I got to go to that in the transit van. And some of the other mums and dads looked at me. Because I think they know I don't really have a job. But I stepped out of that transit van by the school and they all thought, hang on a minute, I was assumed he was useless. But
are
now,
you sure they didn't think, oh, telly's not going well for John, is it? He's got a window cleaning round. Are you sure that's not what they thought?
Oh, no, perhaps that is what they thought.
Or but, maybe they thought you were being the big I am. You bought a transit van load of tinned goods for Harvest Festival.
Yeah, no, I did not do that. You didn't absolutely didn't. Now that you've reminded me, that needs to go on my list. I need to get some cans on the way back. But I drove down very differently. Nothing makes me feel more powerful than driving a transit van.
Did you have an elbow out the... My dad used to drive a van and he always had one arm browner than the other in the summer because he'd drive with his arm out the window.
No, I don't do that because I'm scared of wasps and things coming in the car.
Right.
So, but what I like the arm...
Like most white van drivers, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, you've got to look after yourself. I like the armrest on the other side. So I love the little drink holder. So I find myself buying drinks I wouldn't usually. I've got through a lot of Monster this week, just because I think...
That would explain a lot, John.
What else am I going to put there? It's not like a guy who's got stuff to do.
You can't put a sort of healthy ginger shot in one of those, can you? It's got
to be
a dirty energy drink.
Yeah. You don't want healthy guts when you're driving a transit.
No.
I want the worst guts possible when I stop at the service station. I don't want to disappoint people. Is there anything in your life that when you use it or wear it or have it around you, you just think... Oh, I'm a completely different person now.
A big bunch of keys.
Yes.
Gives me power. Like, I have all my keys on one key ring, mostly because I lose things all the time. So if I have a big bunch of keys, I'm less likely to lose it. But when you just got it in your hand and you're walking towards your car and you just feel like, oh, yeah.
Jangling keys.
Jangling keys.
So do you hum whistle while you're jangling your keys?
I hum whistle and jangle keys. Do you find... Because I don't feel like a grown-up at all. Like, I'm nearly 48, but... When I've got a big bunch of keys, suddenly I'm like, I am a grown-up. You know, if somebody says, oh, mind out the way of that lady, usually I'm looking around for what lady are they talking about. But if I've got a bunch of keys, I'm like, yeah, I'm the lady. Get out of my way. Yeah.
What keys have you got?
I'll be perfectly honest, I've got front door keys and car keys, that's it. There are random keys on my key. Has everyone got random keys on their key ring?
Yeah.
I've forgotten what they're for.
Keys to those little padlocks that you put on your suitcase when you go on holiday. I reckon I've got about four of them.
Yeah.
I've got my keys right here, I'll show you.
Hey, we can compare and contrast. I mind them in the other room.
This, do you want to judge the jangle of my keys, see if you'd respect me or not?
Okay, I can't... Oh. It's not bad.
It's quite a deep jangle, isn't it?
What you need, there's a lot of keys on there, but what you need is a big chunky key ring of some description. How do you know they're your keys, John?
I've got my... This is the best thing ever to have on your keys.
Oh, I've got a bottle opener on mine, yeah.
Always be the person at the party that's got a bottle opener, because then people have to talk to you.
Yeah, I used to use my teeth when I was younger, but I had to stop doing that.
You were never a tooth
I was that one at the party in your teens, opening bottles with my teeth.
That is a power play.
It's the only way I could get a boyfriend, John.
And there was me on my own. I didn't ever dare use the teeth because then it's very cool that you do it, but then when you hand me the bottle, I don't want it because it's been in your mouth.
Yeah.
The other big one for me, I remember when I was at uni, students that were given walkie-talkies to clip onto their belt if we were having like an event or something and students became security. If you give someone a walkie-talkie, they suddenly think they're in a Bourne movie. Absolutely used to drive me insane.
If you give them that and a high-vis.
Yeah, high-vis as well.
Oh,
high-vis and a walkie-talkie. So let us know if there's a thing in your life that makes you feel like an instantly different person. I'll tell you what else is mad, and Jeff mentioned this earlier. You can have a chainsaw now in your house.
What?
You could just buy chainsaws online and they'll give you one, isn't it?
You don't have to prove your age or anything.
You don't have to do anything to get a chainsaw. I've got a chainsaw. I shouldn't be allowed a tin opener. And then let me have a chainsaw.
What do you use your chainsaw for? Do
just I want to sawing know up stuff.
So just your furniture.
Sawing up stuff, just... yeah. Just walk around the house with it. It's just nice to know you could. Do the hedges, the privet. Do the old privet.
Because there's not much of you, John. You're quite a slight man. I imagine sort of you pull that thing and you just sort of throw you backwards.
It is a dinky little chainsaw.
Is it a chainsaw and a key ring?
It's very much a John Richardson-sized chainsaw. That, yeah, if you were a distance away, you would think it was a normal-sized chainsaw and I was a normal-sized. I said it again last night. I came out of a gig and someone was there and they said, I've never met you before. It's nice to meet you. And I said, and I always do a thing where I say, oh, you bet you can't believe how tall I am. And he'd say, no, I did think you'd be taller.
Oh.
It was so awkward.
Because
I always set it up for them to say, no, they always take the mickey out of you, but you're normal actually, aren't you? And then he just stared me out and went, no, I did think you would be taller.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, it was unfortunate. I had to go, I'm fine with it, bye.
And then went home and sawed some stuff up.
Yeah, getting the chainsaw out of the back of the transit. Saw up some wood to put underneath my shoes. Has anyone messaged in on power trip
they
items?
They have. This is from Brammer, Charlotte Brammer. Charlotte Brammer, not Brammer Charlotte. That's not a surname. A beret. She said, gives her power.
Oh, yeah.
A beret. She said, works well in central London, but feel like a freak in my village.
Okay, I would need to know the village.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Where are you? What depends on the village, doesn't it?
Yeah, I want to know the village that doesn't allow berets. Is a beret a power trip? Do you feel powerful? I mean, I'm not going to disagree.
Depends on the colour of the beret as well, I think. Like a black beret says serious.
Oh, it never even occurred to me there was anything
pink.
Other than a red beret.
A red beret?
I just assumed all berets were red.
Well, if you're in... Isn't that an army thing, the red berets? Aren't they
Is it?
Yeah, the red berets, aren't they? I'm looking around. Green berets. Oh, yeah, it's green berets. The green berries aren't quite as ripe as the red berries.
Yeah. I picture a red beret at a jaunty angle, if you say you're wearing a beret. Bet you've got a beret.
I don't have a beret, John. I'm not sure how to take that as well. You looked at me with such disdain when you said that.
I didn't mean anything by it. I've never upset someone like that before. I bet you've got a beret. How dare you?
How dare you say that?
How dare you imply that?
That's just me hitting the microphone in rage that you say that I would wear a beret.
Not an item, but when somebody can't open a jar and then I open it, I feel like a king, says Mark. I sort of don't disagree with that one.
Yeah, I've got very weak wrists. So I always have to hand the jar over. And it does the opposite. It makes me feel pathetic.
I wonder if we're the most pathetic double act on radio at the moment. Do you think?
Probably. Imagine if I handed you a jar, John. What would that say about me?
I'm quite good with jars, actually. Yeah, I am quite good with jars. I've got little hands, but they're strong. They're like those little, what are those little things that people have? Slow lorises. You know, those little big-eyed little pets that people have. I move very slowly, but I've got quite a grip on me.
Right.
I think I'm like a sloth. I can grip. You can hang
me upside
down.
With the big long toes. Have you got long toes that you can open jars with?
If a giant had me as a pet and just hung me from a branch, I reckon I could stay there quite a long time. I'm good at climbing ropes. I'm good at a lot of things. Oh, this link hasn't gone the way I wanted it to.
Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
You're listening to John Richardson Absolute Radio with Angela Barnes, who
Hello.
Has just whipped out a very powerful item.
I have. Everyone in the studio just almost gasped when I whipped out my powerful
item. It's like a film, the way you did that.
It was beautiful, wasn't it, actually?
A hand fan? Is that what you call that?
A hand fan. I've got a little hand fan. Because, John, I am a woman of a certain age, mm-hmm. shall we say. And every now and then, a woman of a certain age needs to fan herself.
I liked it.
But I think it's quite a good look. I think it's quite a commanding look somehow.
Yeah.
And it looks like I've got secrets. I know this is an audio medium, but look what happens if I just put it over my face, John.
Oh, you're hiding behind it.
Yeah, I've got secrets.
I am a parent of a child of a certain age, and I'll be honest, all I saw then was peekaboo. it wasn't the coquettish look that you were perhaps going for. My daughter has texted me to say, why are you lying about having a chainsaw?
Really?
I just want you to know that I do have a chainsaw, and actually I consider myself a better parent for the fact that my child doesn't know that we have a chainsaw.
Tell an 8-year-old. Is she 8?
Yeah.
Where a chainsaw is in your house.
Exactly.
I'm a sleepwalker, and I once shared a flat with my friend Mark, and we had an open fire, and he loved chopping logs, but he wouldn't tell me where the axe was kept. It was in a secret because he was convinced that I'd sleepwalk in the night and kill him if he, you know, didn't do the washing up or something.
Yeah, I think if you know why you're doing it, that's not sleepwalking.
Yeah, yeah, but you tell that to the defence lawyer.
Sleepwalking is a whole different thing. I would love to do a whole show on things people have done sleepwalking. So let's save that one.
Okay.
Barty from Annan in Scotland.
Yes, we have a message from... as soon as you wear a leather jacket, you instantly feel cool like the Fonz.
Yeah.
Is the Fonz still cool?
I tell you what, I've met Henry Winkler.
Have you?
Yeah, and he is the most... You know, some people you meet, this could go either way, couldn't it? I'm aware now.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about Henry Winkler.
Are you going to break my heart or make me happy, John?
I'll tell you something about Henry Winkler. He is one of the instantly kindest people I've ever met in my entire life. I I loved him within about half as he's. Do you know some people just say hello? I say hello in a way that says goodbye. It's been said about me before. Hello, bye-bye, off you go. Henry Winkler says hello in a way that says, you are welcome at my house at any time. There is a bed for you. Hi. It was so sweet.
He's someone I call a charisma bomb.
Yeah.
You know, one of those that they just let off a little charisma bomb and you don't even notice you're getting swept up in the blast. It's just, it feels so nice when you meet those people.
Yeah, there's not many of them about. I'll tell you who else was like that. John Lithgow as well.
Oh, really?
I did the Bake Off with him. And
is
he
this
was,
just John name-dropping? Is that all?
It's just American actors that I have met, and I've met two, and that's the end of that link. I haven't met any more, but I'm up for meeting them if anyone's listening. If Danny DeVito's listening, he wants to go for a cup of tea, I'll take him for a cup of tea. We are discussing... I saw someone use a fountain pen this week.
Oh, yeah, that's quite a power move.
It was.
Yeah.
It was a doctor as well, so it was good. It
writing
was like
a prescription.
It was deserved. It was deserved use of a fountain pen. Last week, I set a very clear ask of our poets. We have an interesting situation going on with the poets at Absolute Radio. I made a demand. We will find out if it has been fulfilled shortly.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Last year, I asked you all, I made a very clear and concise request. It was made with respect and love for poems about lanyards. We can now hear from the current resident poet. Tracy, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
I have Angela with me.
Hello, Tracy.
Hi, Angela.
Now, you are the reigning champion. Nobody has challenged your mantle as resident poet this week. What have you written for us this week?
Well, I didn't know I had to write anything because I didn't write anything about a lanyard because it's really boring, right? So you've got to be irritated or passionate about what you're going to write about, and I feel nothing for lanyards. So I
can see in John's face the passion he has for lanyards right now.
It's when you say you've got to be passionate or irritated, I'm passionately irritated by lanyards. I say that now. And you're saying it lanyard as well. And do you know when you're saying lanyard, Tracy, I'm hearing such an instant rhyme for Spaniard that I think it's almost negligent that you haven't put that in your poem.
I did say that to Will, Spaniard, Wellard, which was a friend of mine's suggestion, but it doesn't make a poem. So I didn't. I wrote you something else.
Well, do you know what? I'm admiring the belligerence of it. So I think our relationship has gone to a different level. I've been directly challenged. I don't mind it. So what do you want to tee up the poem this week, or should we just get into it?
Well, I wrote a poem about something that really irritates me, and that is how Christmas is in the shops already.
Okay.
And it's one I feel very, very irritated about.
Here we go.
Christmas food in all the shops. Pigs in blankets. Festive chooks. This may be pretty sobering, but we are still Octobering. Our time zone is still BST. Halloween is yet to be. Bonfire night is not in sight. But let's wheel out the Christmas lights. Pumpkins uncarved and still to rot, whilst Quality Street fills the shops. Easter waits in the wings, ready to emerge as New Year rings.
It's very good, Tracy. And I tell you what, there'll be nodding heads up and down the land.
There were some beautiful rhymes in there. Sobering and Octobering.
Yeah.
I'm in awe, Tracy.
I had fun with that.
Although, I quite like Christmas starting early.
Oh.
I knew you weren't going to like that, John, but I do, because I like fun.
I do as well.
Yeah,
I do as well. I don't mind having a choice between Halloween treats or Christmas treats.
I love mince pies, and the minute they're in the shops, I'm so happy.
What do you make of that, then?
I'm sick of it already. Sick of it.
Okay, I feel we're going to get a poem next week on how annoying comedians who think they're radio DJs are, based on the fact that we both disagreed with you. But thanks so much, Tracy.
Thanks, John.
Cheers,
take care.
Bye.
Bye, Tracy. Bye.
Saturday mornings never sounded so John Richardson.
John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
You're listening to John Richardson and Angela Barnes on Absolute Radio. It's that time of the week when all other stations are alive with the smugness of people who've got up and achieved stuff, and we say no. Not having it.
No, no smugness here.
Get down, off the couch.
Naughty smug boy.
Have you done any... I've got one this week.
Have you, John?
Yeah, so I will invite
see it
you.
In your eyes.
to challenge me.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to be able to.
Probably not.
With what I've achieved this week.
I'm quite smug, but it's quite a personal smugness, mine.
Yeah, that's the best, because then I can see the hurt when I perforate
you
it for you.
You destroy me.
Yeah.
Okay.
It feeds me more to see the disappointment deep in your soul.
I love being here, John. Thanks for having me.
What time did you get up to be here this morning?
I got up at 6 o'clock this morning, yeah, having hosted an award ceremony and gone to bed at 1 a.m. But it's fine, John. I feel fine.
Any
about
big
it.
Winners?
It's all good. There was some, do you know, it was a lovely one. It was Food Service Awards. So it's all like sort of chefs and people that work in...
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was
I worked
fun.
In catering for quite a few years, never got nominated for anything, so delighted to
well,
hear there was an award to
that do
that.
Good at it, weren't you, John?
I think I was very good. I could carry 7 plates with food on.
Is that how you measure how good you are working
I
in
think
catering?
So, yeah.
How many foods, yeah. plates of food you can...
I was the little gremlin boy that went from the kitchen to the outside. I wasn't allowed to serve the tables. And
no
I
front of house for John Richardson.
Yeah, I was basically just a little ferret up and down the stairs. Right, what are you smug about this week,
so
Angela?
So I'm smug this week. So when I was 12, an album came out that I loved, right, by Fairground Attraction. Do you remember them?
Yes.
And the album was First of a Million Kisses, and I loved it. But the band immediately almost split up and never performed live. But they've recently reformed and went on tour. And I saw the advert for it last minute and managed to snag myself 2 front row tickets for me and my friend Nikki. And so we went Tuesday night, we went and watched Fairground Attraction at Brighton Dome. And they played all the songs I love from that album that I loved when I was 12. It was great. I was really pleased with myself.
That's quite a good one.
Yeah, go on, take that down.
Was it good, though? Was it good, or did you have to say it was good? Because
no,
it's your only chance.
It genuinely was, because I wouldn't have brought it up if it had been disappointing. But Eddie Reader, the singer, she's in her 60s now, but her
she's
voice
great.
Is still incredible. Her range. If I had to listen to one singing voice for the rest of my life, I think it'd be hers. Beautiful.
Not mine?
Not mine!
No, you heard me do a bit of singing there on the last link.
Okay. Yes, I did, and I'm sticking with Eddie Reader.
Okay. Oh, I don't know. That's a trick. I'm really struggling to know how to perforate that. Free on a Tuesday night, though, as a jobbing comedian.
Yeah, all those amazing comedy clubs that are open on a Tuesday night.
Oh, I've done my best. Didn't take your husband?
Didn't take my husband, no.
No,
he
so cracks
the dog.
In the marriage? I'm just trying to get a hold on something here.
Just different taste in music, John. We're fine with that. We're okay
oh,
with that.
Okay. No, you won't be. You're just one long drive away from it being a real dispute. I'm getting there. I can feel it.
We
I
have
can
places
feel it.
Where our music tastes collide. It is Power Ballads and the Muppets. Our first
and
dance
was
to the Muppets.
Release their Power Ballad album. You're in for an absolute
oh,
treat.
Yes.
All right, that's as close as I've got to not being able to challenge that, really. It sounds like a good thing. But I will sort of slightly imply that you're responsible for them splitting up when you were 12.
It was definitely my fault.
Yeah, I think so.
Same with my parents.
Do you know what I did this week? Oh, I nearly missed that one. That one just snuck in. This is why I think you're going to be good at challenging me.
Okay.
I went to an arcade this week. And you know the little teddy grab things?
Yeah.
Not that, but the ones that inside, they've got little hoops that are worth a certain value of tickets. I snagged right. myself a 900 ticket band. So basically, used a teddy grab to win 900 tickets.
But what does 900 tickets get you? It only gets you like a toy car or something.
Small packet of Parma Violets.
Small packet of Parma Violets. Hang on, were you given a choice of... And you chose, someone
oh,
chose.
I love Parma Violets.
Parma Violets?
Yeah. Or oh, stick 5 Parma Violets in my gob and let me sniff a Tic Tac box.
Do you know, if somebody, if somebody said to me, which British comedian do you think would choose Parma Violets? I would immediately say, that's got to be John Richardson.
Yeah, I hope so. But yeah. That's pretty... it wasn't actually... We got a themed notepad and we saved because I'm raising my daughter to be like me and to defer any joy in life until she's retired. We saved some of the tokens for next time we go back to the arcade.
So hang on, you say the tokens are your pension?
Sort of, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
It's a better one than I've got, to be fair.
When I retire, I would like a Nerf gun and a Disney key ring, and that's all I ask from life. So we're perforating the smugness of Saturday mornings. If there's anything you are feeling smug about, then you can text 81215 john@absoluteradio.co.uk is the email address. You can WhatsApp us now if you're that way inclined. Are you a WhatsApp kind of person,
I'm
Angela?
I'm a WhatsApp girl, yeah. Love a WhatsApp group, me.
Do you know the WhatsApp number for the station?
No.
It's 0330 123 1215, and somebody who has done that is Linda.
Fine, it's lovely to hear from you. I absolutely love the show.
So kind of you. Thank you very much. Well, do you know what? You've made me feel smug, and I'm not even going to perforate it. What have you done this week that's made you feel smug?
Well, my husband is actually outside at the moment in the cold.
As he should be, right?
In the cold,
that's it.
Yeah.
You go out. I'm listening to the John Richardson show.
Yes, cutting down hedges and bushes because our neighbour wants to put a fence up.
Picking up on a lot here.
I can feel tension in the air. Yeah. Can you, John?
No, you don't want the fence?
We don't really want a fence up.
Birds can't live in a fence, can they, Linda?
But you're doing it anyway.
So the smugness is that you're being the better neighbour and you're just...
That's right. Yeah, okay. That's it.
I don't get the impression that this is going to be the end of it, though, Linda.
I feel like there's somebody listening going, that's funny, we've got our neighbours outside cutting down now.
That's right.
Well,
it's actually to their little boy seems to like our front room, so we've found him in our front room 2 or 3 times. It's like, oh...
It's a little boy. It's not like the cat's come round and you feed it. It's a little boy. You've got to send him home, Linda.
So they moved in, and then I came downstairs in my dressing gown one morning and found this little child on my settee underneath all the cushions. And I said, oh, hello. And I thought, oh, it's a miracle. I never had children. I've been given one. I realised you'd come from next door. It was funny.
I think the fence is a good idea.
I think the fence should be made of iron and padlocked, personally.
Well, I will. And can I ask very quickly, is your husband out there with a chainsaw or is he doing it with old-fashioned secateurs?
He's doing it with shears, and an electric. It's not a chainsaw, but it might as well be, I think, in his hand.
I would call it a chainsaw. Yeah.
John can tell him where he can buy one online, so... You know.
I would allow the smugness for being the better people, but I tell you what, this one's going to rumble on. So all I will say to you, Linda, is keep in touch and thanks for calling.
How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Go on, mate, you do this, Link.
I've made a terrible error.
You're listening to John Rich and Angela Barnes. Angela, anything you'd like to say to the nation?
No.
I brought in some donuts and I like to hand them round when there's just not quite enough time to eat a donut. That's when I like to crack the donuts out.
I feel really bad for... You know, you did that for... texting about sounds that people hate.
Yes.
I'm sure that eating donuts on the radio is probably one of them.
I don't think it'll go down as badly as the hum whistling, to be honest. Hum whistling while eating a donut. Wow. Clean up in Studio 4. So last week on the smugness, we discussed guinea pigs, as is our wont. Mm-hmm. I made a comment. I believe there has been a response.
There has been a response, and this is from Rob, and Rob's, we think, Australian, so...
Please do. Please
I'm going to do my best Australian accent.
You get that donut down you and you make some accent choices, and I
right,
wouldn't
okay,
miss
my kangaroo donut is down. Let's
it's
go.
Good.
Yeah, but can I sustain it, John? That's the question. To the end of the email. Right, here we go. Dear John.
It's very Adam Hills.
Really?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Okay. I listened with... Don't make me laugh, John. Right. I listened with great interest to your guinea pig segment on last week's show. Mm-hmm. I live in Australia these days. These days is not even Australian. Oh, I'm committed now. I live in Australia these
Could
days.
Could you do the Australian accent of someone who's lived there for 17 years but was brought up in Milton Keynes?
Okay. I live in Australia these days, but was absolutely horrified to hear you utter that guinea pigs are unable to produce vitamin C. Is that right? No, right.
Yes.
Unable to produce vitamin C and therefore needed in their diet. I can't keep this up. I'm going Milton Keynes now.
Yeah, all right.
All right. By definition, they are vital... Because vita from vital and min from minerals. So
vitamin.
I mean, that's vitamins.
No, is that
then?
What vitamin means?
Vitamins, I suppose, Australian.
I'm not having that. I'm going to set a whole team of people on that. Get me Susie Dent on the line.
Okay. By definition, they are vital in all diets because they cannot be produced from other substances. So it's not just guinea pigs. You must have them supplemented in their diets. John, do you take your vitamins?
Sometimes.
I do every day.
Do you? Every day?
Vitamin D, vitamin B, vitamin C.
But do you take them with you on the road and stuff? Because that's when I fall down.
They're in my bag right now because I stayed in a hotel last night.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, save it for Saturday smugness, mate. What are you taking? C?
C, D, and a B complex.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
complex enough, mate.
Yeah,
last thing I need is more of that.
So he says, I fear I may have adopted a pedantic Susie Dent role in this email.
Okay.
Which,
there you go.
There you go.
Cited his own problem.
So that's Rob, not from Australia.
No.
With a very strange accent.
I don't mind it. You know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So I've gobbed off. He's called me out on it.
Where did you get that from, that they don't...
I've read a book on guinea pigs. And there's something about that they need more vitamin C, or they find it harder to extract from food, or it's not in the food that they like to eat.
I don't think anyone produces vitamin C.
No, I know. I was wrong to say that, okay? But you can't... What I was basically saying is you can't give a guinea pig a Barocca, as I understand it. They're too small. They go off like when you let go of a balloon.
I don't think that's just because of the vitamin C. Surely that's more to do with the fizz.
So the word vitamin, thank you, Jeff, comes from vita, the Latin for life, and amine, thought to contain an amino acid.
That sounds more proper than vital minerals, I must admit.
It does sound a lot more
proper. I did linguistics at university. I could have been Susie Dent in another life.
Well, there's a jewel I'd like to see. Let me check the guinea pig thing. There's something about guinea pigs and vitamin C that I've heard at some point. Is that good enough?
I reckon. I think you've got that covered.
Public service broadcasting. You listen to John Mission. You know guinea pigs and vitamin C? Summit.
He's done 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. Now, John Richardson does radio. This is the John Richardson Show.
Hello, John. Did you hear that? My hearing aid just whistled.
I didn't
Apologies
hear that.
For that. It did. I've made myself sound like a right nana.
Like a wolf whistle. Does it get you into trouble, your hearing aids?
It's always... If you hear me wolf whistle, just know it's the hearing aids. Yeah.
I didn't hear it. I don't know if anyone else heard it. I don't know.
Good. Maybe it's just me because it is in my ear.
That's not something you need to apologise for.
Okay.
The loudly chewing donuts we can talk about. Listen, we're with you as we are every Saturday morning, and we're basically just here to be good guys and sort out disputes.
Yeah.
That's what we can do. If you've got anything in your life that you're worried about, sometimes you think, I don't know, do I speak to someone at work? Do I go to HR? Do I perhaps phone a relative or a loved one? Get in touch with the John Richardson Show on Absolute Radio. We'll sort it out for you. 8-12-15, john@absoluteradio.co.uk. You can spell it with an H if you like. I will receive it, but I won't read it. WhatsApp 03-0123-1215. And we've had a call exactly like that from one of our listeners. So hello, Bobby.
Hello there.
I'm very excited. All I've been told is that we may be able to help you with what has been a 30-year dispute.
You may. I hope so. I do hope so.
Right, fill us in.
Okay, so basically, it's going to sound silly to start with, but bear with me. My best friend and I have been having an ongoing argument for nearly 30 years about which is the best flavour of Tic Tacs, mint or orange.
Do you want a very quick answer?
It's mint.
Oh, it's not. It's orange.
It's definitely mint.
No, no.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, here we go. We're off.
Already, haven't I?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was hoping you'd say mint. I'd like to argue that the orange ones technically taste nice to start with, but after a little while, you get a weird artificial chemically taste.
What, on an individual Tic Tac? Or you're not putting away a packet of orange Tic Tacs, are you?
No, even if you just have one. Just one, you'll notice next time you try them, there'll be a little artificial, nasty, chemically taste to them. Mint is definitely superior.
Well, I don't want to derail this so quickly, but you don't want to know. I think the best thing about Tic Tac is the smell of an empty Tic Tac box. It's my favourite smell on the planet.
Are
it's a very weird one, but just promise me next time you finish a box.
Oh, nobody else has ever done that, John. Nobody else has ever sniffed an empty Tic Tac box.
Sniff your empty Tic Tac box, please. How can we help you solve this debate if it's been raging 30 years?
Well, you see, it's escalated a bit. So what started as a mere mint versus orange Tic Tac has evolved. So it started off with, like, Christmas and birthdays. We'd give each other mint or orange-based gifts. And my favourite was when I couldn't make it to a birthday celebration. So I arranged an online shopping order to turn up at her house that had loads of different mint-based things and one single orange.
Brilliant.
Very nice. That's very
I'm
nice.
I'm on board with this completely.
Oh, so you don't really want an end to this. This is very sweet.
It'll be sad if it ends, wouldn't it?
It would be.
What would you do with your life, Bobby?
I mean, it has been dwindling a bit over the last few years, but recently Lisa sent me a photo of herself with Alex Horn holding up a sign saying orange, and she claims with that she's won.
She thinks Horn can't be beaten. I think John Richardson's here. A bit sad about that.
Let me just get Greg Davis's number. The problem I've got is that I feel like I'm Team Orange, though.
I'm Team Mint.
Okay, well, should we set a challenge then? Do you want to go away and see who you can get for Team Mint this week?
Okay.
And I'll see who I can get for Team Orange.
Okay, let's do it. Right, we'll try.
All right. I tell you what, I loved hearing about that and I love those kind of things. So, in a way, I hope this dispute never ends.
Well, you know, it's kept us lively over the years.
Okay, well, Bobby, you have Angela representing you. Lisa, I will be on her side and we'll keep in touch. Thanks for calling in.
Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
So we're going to discuss some of the stories that weren't in the news that I think are worth discussing.
Okay.
It is worth, every now and again, you put a decision in the hands of the public. And they don't always make the right decision. I think great mileage. And every now and again, do you know what? They nail it. And I'm going to say at this point, the people of Britain have been asked a question and they've got the answer exactly right.
Okay.
They were asked what the best and worst motorways in Britain were.
Okay.
And I don't think they've got it far wrong. These 9,166 road users.
How many?
9,166.
That's probably not many, is it, in the grand scheme of road users?
But... No, but then if you'd asked more, maybe they'd have got it wrong. Maybe you've got to spread it out. You don't want to get into regional bias, things like that.
That's true. Presumably they're for people from all over the country.
You would assume so. We'd have to go to the guys at Transport Focus who carried out the poll.
Okay, fine. I'll take that up with them later.
But I'm willing to just accept it because they voted the M42 as the worst motorway in England.
Okay.
And I'll have that.
It's got to be M25, hasn't it?
I think if you're judging it on, of course, it's a very busy motorway. It's joyless.
Maybe it's just because I live nearer it than you do, for example, so I have to use it to get anywhere.
Yeah, move away
basically.
From it. If you don't like it, move away. That's what I tell my daughter.
Good point.
If you don't like the M25, move to Aberdeen. You chose to live near it.
I was born in... Was I there before the M25 was? I think I was. When was the M25 built?
Oh, now we're getting into
I'm sure
that.
I was there
the
before
studio.
The
God,
M25 was. Did you see them all jump onto the computers
then? I felt like we were working
then.
On a proper news show then.
Oh.
Everybody's gone to Google it.
1986.
Yeah, 86.
See, I was nearly 10
when
the M25 was built.
Tell me, Angela, what was it like trying to circumnavigate the London area before 1986?
On my roller skates, which was my main mode of transport
pre-1986.
Rollerblades weren't a thing in 1986, John. I had four wheels, one on each corner of my Fisher-Price roller skates.
And the most ill-thought-out braking system.
Oh, terrible.
How do you stop on roller skates? Put a big rubber wedge on the front.
Yeah.
Won't they tilt forwards?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the fun bit. And they'll leave a big mark on the pavement if you get it right. Beautiful.
Not even on the back. Not even tilt back. Lean forward until you stop abruptly.
Three years ago, I bought myself some roller boots because I've got ADHD, John. I do things like that. and had roller skating lessons to try and... Because I used to skate a lot when I was younger, but to try and get it back. And I could be seen for the last two summers skating around the velodrome in Preston Park in Brighton, having a whale of a time.
Did
in
you enjoy
my
40s. It? I went to a roller disco not long ago.
It's great fun.
Didn't mind it.
It's great fun. Let's go roller skating, John.
No.
Okay.
No, you've got to know when to stop.
When the fun stops, stop.
Do you know, there was? I enjoyed all of that, because don't get me wrong, my house is full of things that I've got ukuleles,
Boxing gloves. I've got that thing. I've got that, ukulele.
I've got that thing David Bowie does in Labyrinth, contact juggling, where you have a heavy, like, crystal ball looking thing and you make it look like it's floating.
Can you do it?
No.
Nope.
No intention of learning these things. I just think if you buy it, then you learn how to do it.
Yeah.
But it was the bit where you said, so I bought some rollerblades to try and get it back. That was the bit I felt really sorry for you.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You've looked at 11-year-old Andrew and thought, where's she gone?
She had so much fun. She really did, skating around our estate. We had, like, subways that went under the road, you know, like, really dingy. Me and my friend Joe used to just go bombing down there on our roller skates. Happy days, John.
We could do a whole thing on... There was a wall at the end of our estate, and I'm talking we would do this for hours. Yeah. Put an Asda carrier bag over our shoulders and then jump off the wall to see if it would become a parachute. This was like 2 foot tall. And then I worked out that when you're sat on the wall and a car drove past, as the car drove past, your reflection would move forward and it looked like you were on the start of a roller coaster. So I would, at dusk, as it was getting dark, wait for cars' lights to come on and just sit on the wall. And as the car went past, I'd go, oh!
Can I just say there's a couple of younger people in the studio now, open mouth staring at us, John, right now. We didn't have the internet, guys.
We didn't even have Game Boys.
We didn't have them.
Oh, no. Anyway, people don't like the M42, is the long and the short of that. M23 in it down your way, Brighton.
Yeah, and it's not bad, the M23, because there's not much of it.
Best named service station in the country?
Peas Pottage.
Best named service station in the country. Do you know what? I'm going to come back to that later, because we've had a lovely old chat and there's a lot more to be said about what the best motorway in the country is as well. Steve, who began the whole guinea pig. That's a big guinea pig. He's been in touch. He says, my dad once closed the Dartford crossing on the M25 because he missed his exit off the M25 and refused to go through the tunnel. So they had to close the road and escort him through a gap in the barrier to turn him around.
Can you do that? You can just refuse to go
Apparently
through the tunnel?
Apparently you can, yeah. I don't think he meant it as a hack, but if you're listening and you don't want to do the tunnel, just stop and they will close the motorway and turn you around.
Do you know what? Steve's dad, the times I've been held up at that tunnel, and if that was because of you just throwing a wobbly and not wanting to go through it, wow.
Yeah, that's better though than just realising you've missed and just reversing back a little bit.
The M25.
Yeah, I can't condone that. Best motorway in the country.
Yeah.
M40. And again, I don't disagree.
It's got good services.
Biggest
fields.
You very rarely get caught on it, traffic-wise. And there's a little bit where you snake through some trees. And at this time of year, in autumn, it's absolute... And every tree is a slightly different colour.
I know the exact bit you mean, just as you come up to Aylesbury.
I always put a little bit of classical music on as I'm going through there.
Oh, John, that's lovely,
It's slightly sort of New England-y, like America. I feel like, you know, when they drive to the Outlook Hotel... I know that's not a great reference point. The Overlook Hotel in The Shining. And they're just driving along. And I always sort of slightly sneer at myself in the rearview mirror. Did you, Danny? It's a beautiful stretch of motorway. And again, you can't disagree with that. M42, M40, very close to each other. Mm. I mean, isn't that just so like the way we live? There's the best and the worst, and yet they can't work together and just become like one great motorway.
That's beautiful, John. But I don't think you could beat the M6 by Lancaster Services because of the Fortin Tower.
I love that you think that's one of the best because it's where I'm from and no one ever says anything good about Lancaster. And albeit you're saying the service station there is so ugly, it's noteworthy. But I will take it.
It's beautiful. On my way to the Edinburgh Fringe this year, I booked myself into the Travelodge, John.
Yes.
At Lancaster Services, just so I could wake up and see the Fortin Tower, that lovely thing that looks like a concrete flying saucer. It's beautiful.
I think it's wonderful. And it's the service station I never got to go to because it's where we lived.
Of course, so you don't need to stop
either
there.
Either you just set off and you say, can we stop at the service? They say, no, we've only just set off. Or you were nearly home.
Yeah.
So I'd sometimes
wasn't that a nice beacon that would go, you'd see that beautiful tower and go, oh, I'm nearly home.
We tended to use the Ashton Memorial, which was a beautiful monument built that you can see. It's got a little butterfly house. That was what. Or Scorton Spire is a big one as well.
Horses for courses. I like concrete.
A horrible service station is equally beautiful.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's lovely when you're from that area and you've seen the sort of decline of Morecambe and all the things that were taken and what has resulted in terms of the decline of Morecambe, to know that people will stop at services to see the service station but not actually visit the local area.
I've visited Morecambe with you, John.
Joking. You've supported Morecambe more than most people I know. I realise I haven't left you a lot of time for your story that wasn't in the news.
It could be quite a quick story. It's sort of a sad story.
Okay.
But there's a whale, John, that I'm a bit obsessed with. It's a whale called Valdemir, and it's he was found about 5 years ago. They found this whale in Norway, and it was, they think, a Russian spy whale. And the way they knew, John, is because it had a GoPro harness on it, which said on it, "Property of St. Petersburg." Now, arguably,
it's a good old clue.
It's not the best outfit for a spy, that. It's like James Bond turning up with a badge and it just says Bond.
Property
James
of Bond. MI5.
Exactly. But this, so this spy, but unfortunately, he's been spotted all over Scandinavia and Sweden. He pops up every now and then, this whale. And but he's died, John. And they thought he'd been shot. But the good news, it was natural causes.
Okay.
So we think Valdemir lived a long life. So I guess I'm breaking some sad news to listeners and fans of
Valdemir
the spy whale. He's no longer with us, but he did die of natural causes. There was no, you know, dodgy circumstances.
He somehow navigated his way onto the M42 and just lost all hope. This is an absolute disgrace of a motorway, and I shouldn't even be here.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
It's a busy old morning, all of a flutter here. There's guinea pig nutrition going on.
Tic-tacs.
That's still kicking off. I just apologise. Just no creature can generate vitamin C. Guinea pigs need a constant top-up, because the difference with guinea pigs, they can't store it. So some people can store vitamin C, guinea pigs cannot. So it has to be a constant supply, and that's why they end up getting guinea pig scurvy.
Hamsters can store it in their cheeks, right?
That's exactly where it goes.
Yeah.
That's exactly where it goes. I apologise for any distress caused, and I'm pleased to make that correction. Motorways, of course, people texting in their favourite motorways, they're all wrong. somebody has messaged to say, don't beat yourself up, John. David Bowie couldn't do the juggling in Labyrinth either. Don't break my heart. You can see his hand doing it.
Yeah,
what are you telling me? I've seen the video. There's a guy behind him. Very odd. Like, right behind him, doing like
doing
that.
It?
Yeah, I don't mind.
Why would you say that to me, John?
Because I'll tell you what is real. His legs in those tight trousers. That is David Bowie.
Are you
Unless
sure?
you're telling me that's CGI, because it wasn't even around then.
It's a man stood behind him in his
trousers.
That's
actual David Bowie in tight little grey pants. That's all real, that. The hair's real? Yeah, it's probably not real, is it?
No.
And we are also solving a 30-year dispute, or certainly contributed to Bobby and Lisa, Team Mint or Team Orange. Now, you freaked me out because I thought we were just chatting.
Yeah.
You've been already assembling your little team, haven't
I've
you?
Been,
team
I've been
Mint.
Sneakily texting my showbiz pals.
Yeah, go on.
And, so far I've had a response from Hugh Dennis, lovely Hugh Dennis.
Lovely.
He's Team Mint, obviously, and he would send a photo, but he's currently playing football in Italy, but hopefully one will come through so we can prove that Hugh Dennis is Team Mint. I don't know, Hugh Dennis, Alex Horn, I don't know how that weighs up, but I think it's a pretty good shout for Team Mint.
I bet there's been some sort of... Do you remember when World Cup of something was a big thing on Twitter for a while?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There will have been, at some point, Alex Horn and Hugh Dennis head-to-head in some sort of...
World Cup of comedians.
World Cup of, panel show comedians league, and we'll get a definitive answer on which one carries more weight. We are about to discuss rock and roll football and my efforts to sabotage that show with adverts for my own. I texted, because sometimes I feel bad about it in the week. I think maybe I shouldn't be doing this. So I texted my close friend and colleague, Matt Ford. I said... I didn't say anything. I just put mint, Tic Tac or orange. That's all I put, because when you've known each other long enough, you don't need to justify these things. He says mint, and then, do you know what he does? This winds me up. He will not put two sentences together on WhatsApp. So he'll send...
Does he do it in separate messages?
Separate messages.
What is wrong with those people?
It drives me insane.
Just write it all in one message.
Punctuate.
With punctuation. Thank you.
Your generation are killing the paragraph.
Yes.
So that one word mint, and then a whole new message to say... And this is his justification. Tic Tacs are mints. You wouldn't have orange toothpaste. That's his justification. Oh. Is a Tic Tac a mint or a sweet?
But it's not. It can't be a mint if you can get an orange one.
Exactly. Yeah, Team Orange. Now we've got Angela Barnes has come out for
Team
Orange.
Mint
huge
till I die.
News.
Saturday mornings never sounded so John Richardson.
John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
That's the feistiest few minutes we've had.
Right, off air, that was a real debate going on here.
That was nearly tops off ruckus, that.
Yeah.
I nearly took my top off and challenged you all to a
fight.
So
did I, John.
Is a Terry's chocolate orange shaped, even though it can be mint flavoured?
They are. We've got the new mint flavour. But have you had the after eights that are both orange and mint flavour? It's wrong. I like chocolate orange. I like chocolate mint. I like both, but not together in one.
It's a matchmaker for me at this time of year.
Oh, God, I love a matchmaker.
That's the ultimate treat. Anyway, Matt Ford's Team Mint, that's all you need to know. He's here at 2 o'clock. Mr. Dyson is away this week, so he's with Chris Skull from 2pm with Rock and Roll Football. Now, way back when this show started in the 80s, we've been here since before the M25. I asked you just as a bit of fun, really, to sabotage that show. And when we started, you didn't let me down. I said, I've been on a train with Colin Firth. See if you can get Matt Ford to read out Colin Firth films. And you delivered. Straight in, no messing about.
Got a text here from Stu in Rochdale. It says, hi, Fordy, what's going on between you and John Richardson? I can't remember exactly what you said, but the insults were definitely at fever pitch. What's he doing? He's obviously just joined Absolute Radio. He had his first show earlier today. He's obviously been running his mouth.
Oh.
Stuff gets back to me. This is what you need to understand.
It's exactly what I wanted. Beautiful. Without knowing it, he's plugged our show on his own show and he thinks he's being hostile to me. It built and built and built. We get to a point where multiple messages were going in. So last week, Mark in Essex managed to reference 6 fruits and vegetables in a meta text message that was read out.
Because he's been pranking us, but we don't know how, which is quite frustrating, but we need to get our own back on him. You might have to join in with this next Saturday during his show.
We need your help, yeah. What's this other one? Why don't you get people to text in and mention something like fruit and vegetables? The more references, the better. That would be a peach of a trick. Kumquat May. It would be a gem of an idea. Let us have a go, old bean, and your listeners will smash it. That'll be a turnip for the books. He's on fire with the puns, Mark, isn't he?
Mark in Essex.
That's 6.
So meta. But I did give him Kumquat May.
You did?
I did. I gave him that one. That was mine. I'm taking ownership of that.
So I don't know if perhaps people feel that they can't compete with some of the standards, but let me be clear. This is not about getting better every week. This is about the slow drip drip, the water torture element of just undermining Matthew Ford at any cost. So it doesn't matter whether they read it out or not. It doesn't matter whether you get 6. Just bombard that man with content for our own show. Because last week, listen to the show. I listened to the full 3 hours. It was agony. It was such tedious drivel. I mean, really. I'm joking. It's a really good show. I set you the challenge. Get him to read out names of animals. Bonus points if you can get him to make the noise of an animal, which I feel like Fordy does anyway.
There's a lot of animal noises come out of Fordy.
You go too close behind his chair and he's going to make the noise of a chimp being dropped in a hot bath. There was nothing last week. So I'm imploring you now. In the spirit of Rock and Roll Football, I'm going full Football Manager. Guys, I need your back, okay, on your game. Get out there. We cannot let these guys win. We're better than them. This is what we've trained for, okay? Comes down to this. I want you out there now. Don't bring anything back in this dressing room, right? You leave it out there on the pitch. Today, we've talked about what's so funny. This is Alex Ferguson and his poem.
Oh, I'm glad you said it was Alex Ferguson because I was sitting there going, I know that's a good impression, but I have no idea
exactly.
Who it is.
Exactly. Some sort of it is. Maybe a bit Gordon Strachan as well. I don't know. Anyway, we've been talking about Tic Tacs. These are my tactics, right?
Oh, bravo, John.
When you get out there, I want you to message those guys' confectioneries, okay? I want you to give them hell. Every message, 8, 12, 15. Double decker, maybe that's 2 fixtures. You get Kinder Bueno in there, I'm very happy. Listen, guys, it's our opportunity today. It's international break, so there's no much football going on. Those guys will be desperate for every message. They need it more than we need them. Okay, so 8, 12, 15. Have you any suggestions for football-related confectionery messages?
Could you use Boost in a football
game? Yeah, and he loves a boost. He got through. There was a time when we lived together when I almost had to make an intervention on the number of boosts that Matt Ford was getting through. When you're ordering catering boxes online, it's time to lay off the boosts.
Oh, the biscuit boost!
I may have revealed to him. I don't think I've ever finished a boost, but they're too much for me, too heavy. But I tell you what, that man likes a boost. So boost, Turkish delight fruit salad, these are very, very difficult
ones.
Are
there Turkish players in the Premier League? Because you go, he really is a Turkish delight.
Absolutely. See?
Yeah.
You're in and you don't even like football.
I don't even like football. Is there a footballer called Fry?
Ooh. Matt, no, Matt Fry's a journalist, isn't he?
I bet
there is. But you could fry the opposition.
Oh, you could.
You could say, whisper it quietly, but I think Lee Carsley might be losing the England job.
That football is
from a different galaxy, off to Mars. You know, just get back on it, guys. Dance Fry. Dace Fry?
Dale Fry.
Dale Fry. Who does Dale Fry play football for? Is he at Borough?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. They won't be playing today because there's no championship. But you could say you missed Dale Fry.
Could a player turn on a dime?
Perhaps. Here we go. Perhaps because of the international break, some of the footballers have gone on holiday. I hear Dale's gone to Ankara for some fries, Turkish delight.
Yay!
Oh, my God.
Back
I'm
of the net.
Absolutely shattered.
How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Last week's tidy up was an absolute mess.
Oh, John, you look angry.
Kerry Godliman. This is the part of the show where we wrap up all the loose ends so anyone who's been with us a decent amount of time can leave feeling refreshed. Yeah. She absolutely made a mess of it. So would you like to read some messages that will invite those listeners to feel that we've got closure?
The pressure's on now.
Yeah.
The pressure's on. We've had a text from Steve in Kent.
Yes, Steve's
my home
back.
County. He says his granddaughter has strawberry flavour toothpaste and she loves it. She won't use mint.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that means... He's team orange.
I think it means he's not mint. That means he's not mint.
But is that a tick for orange? I don't think it is.
Different coloured toothpaste, a whole new thing. Watermelon my daughter has now.
Watermelon
toothpaste. Have you ever heard of it?
But your mouth doesn't feel fresh unless it's mint,
does it? Heard the song Watermelon Meow Meow? Cracking tune. Watermelon Meow Meow. Doo-doo-doo. Anyway, I like to smell Tic Tac boxes. Justine says it was all about sniffing after 8 boxes for me. So... pleased to know. Perhaps we'll do a thing on smells.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've got... we're going right back now, are we? To you're feeling powerful.
Yes, exactly.
Feeling powerful. So this is... have we got a name on here? I can't see his name. But it's when I walk in the builder's merchant with a list of materials on a piece of plasterboard, head held high, nearly on my tiptoes, having pulled up in my white van and a big bunch of keys for all the houses I'm working on. The importance oozing out of me, John. Oozing.
If I go to anywhere like a merchant, I have to put a little bit of paint on my trousers and some chipboard in my hair, so I don't feel intimidated. Have you got a suggestion for what we name this week's podcast?
It's
got
to be Smelling a Tic Tac Box.
Smelling a Tic Tac Box. I was going to go with Tic Tac Toe Bar to sort of link the
John.
Thing, but I think Smelling a Tic Tac Box, it's very on the nose.
Yeah.
It's exactly.
Literally.
It's one of those things when I'm inevitably embroiled in a scandal in years to come, someone absolute will have to go back and say, do you think that looks weird now, the smell in the Tic Tac box thing? Let's delete that one. It's a lovely smell. I invite you this week. Empty out a box. Give it a sniff.
Tic Tacs are going to see their sales soar
I
this
know,
week.
Someone's been in touch who works for Swizzles as well, so I'll be messaging them straight after the show. He offered me free sweets. I'm taking
them. He's done 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. Now, John Richardson does radio. This is the John Richardson Show.
Okay, thank you for listening. I'll be back next week with Kerry Godliman making her return, the tomato-less Kerry Godliman. We'll find out whether she's orange or mint. I mean, in terms of her Tic Tac choice rather than any sort of wider implication about her personal life. I think she's mint, isn't she? I'm mint, mate. Do you think I'm even orange? She's not going to like that. But she doesn't listen to the podcast. You do. Thanks for downloading. If you want to hear us live, we're back. I mean, we might be on air. I don't know. I might have been attacked by a chainsaw-wielding, inverted commas, fan. You never know. But they're not going to attack me in the transit van, but it goes back on Friday. We're back next week. If you want to hear us live, we're 8 till 11 on Absolute Radio. Otherwise, we will see you on next week's podcast. Thanks for downloading. Take care. Bye-bye.